We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Frequently you hear the statement made, attend the church of your choice. But you know, anytime I talk about something in religion, and then I talk about doing it according to my choice, I get in trouble. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And when a person says, attend the church of your choice, whether they really recognize it or not, they are implying that there is more than one church to choose from. But you know, the Bible says otherwise. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says that God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Ephesians 4, 4 says there is one body. Now, if that body is the church and there's only one body, then the implication of Scripture is there is only one church. I want us to talk about the question, is the church of your choice the right choice? And particularly, I want to focus in on the Roman Catholic Church. But we're going to answer the question, is the church of your choice the right choice if it is the Roman Catholic Church? Now, first, I want to give you some background. I want to give you the origin of the Roman Catholic Church. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the Lord established His church. And they have all things in common, according to Acts 2:44. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. And so they were all getting along together. And they all taught and believed the same thing. But as has been the case in history, things don't continue that well for very long. In fact, it wasn't many years until the apostle Paul met with the elders at the Ephesus Church of Christ. And he told them, after my departure, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, he says, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, Acts 20, 29, and 30. The Apostle Peter wrote, there shall be false teachers among you, who will privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And many shall follow their pernicious way, 2 Peter 2, 1. Paul told Timothy, he said, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now listen to some of the doctrines of devils they will teach. He says they will be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now, I want you to notice particularly that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit said one of the false doctrines or some of the false doctrines that would be taught when this departure from the faith took place is they would forbid marriage and they would command that you not eat certain meats. Brethren, both of these are relevant with regard to the Roman Catholic Church. Well, it wasn't very long until these departures that Peter and Paul talked about did take place. The first major departure that took place was with regard to the way that the church was governed. In the New Testament, Christ is the only head of His church, and each congregation is to be ruled by men who are called elders, also called bishops, pastors, shepherds, or overseers. These are all the same individuals. No one elder has authority over the other elders. As a matter of fact, no one elder has any authority at all. The authority is in the eldership. But what happened was men began to exalt one elder above the other elders. And pretty soon, each congregation had a man who was the head elder. And they began to call him alone the bishop. He was the bishop. The others were just the elders. Eventually, these bishops were presiding over several different congregations. And so you had a bishop who might be the head over three or four churches in that area. Eventually, these bishops began to meet together and discuss the problems that were going on in their area that they called a diocese. And they began to form human rules to deal with these problems. And then you get human edicts. Now, by this time, the church, these individuals had drastically departed from the Word of God. Well, some more time passes, and when you get to the year 606 B.C., a man by the name of Boniface III was exalted to be the head bishop. He was the bishop of bishops, the universal bishop, and eventually he took on the title of the Pope. Now, the Roman Catholic Church continued for a period of time. In the year 1054, there was a controversy that arose called the Iconoclastic Controversy. You may remember this from history. And it had to do with the use of icons or images in the worship. And some in the Roman Catholic Church were saying, no, you shouldn't do that because that's like idolatry. And others were saying, no, it's okay. And it resulted in a split in the Roman Catholic Church so that those in the eastern portion became known as the Greek Orthodox Church. And those in the west became the Roman Catholic Church. Well, they continued for some period of time. When you get to the 16th century, what started happening is there were some men who were starting to take notice, and they were saying, wait a minute. The things that we are teaching in the Roman Catholic Church, this is not right. This is not what the Bible teaches. This is not the way the church is organized. And so they began to break off and try to go back to the Bible, but they would add some of their own ideas. And so you had a new denomination form, and then another one, and another man would do it, and another one. And you had denomination after denomination form. And so we had the Protestant Reformation. And so the Roman Catholic Church holds the distinction of being the oldest denomination in the world, the mother of all other denominations, the largest denomination in the world, the most powerful, I would say, the most powerful denomination in the world, and as a preacher friend of mine said, the most corrupt denomination in the world. And I think that's probably a true statement. Now, I want to talk about some truths that are taught by the Roman Catholic Church. Before we talk about the errors, I want to point out that not everything the Roman Catholic Church teaches is a problem. The Roman Catholic Church believes that there is one God in heaven and three persons in the Godhead. That's right. Now, that can't be said for all religions. Many people believe in multiple gods. They believe in gods other than the Bible. Some believe in no God at all. But the Roman Catholic Church is right on this. They also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus is deity. Some, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, would even deny this basic truth. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Bible is the Word of God. And that's correct. They believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe in eternal reward. They believe in hell. They believe in heaven. And that's all right. They also uphold family values. They support the sanctity of the home. They stand for morality. They oppose abortion. And in all of these areas, they're correct, and that's good. But they also teach a number of things that are departures from the Scriptures. I want to talk now about some of the errors held by the Roman Catholic Church. Number one, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that they are the one true church of the New Testament. Now, I commend them for recognizing the fact that the Bible teaches there is one true church. When they have looked at the Scriptures, they have said, yeah, the Bible says there's only one church, and they recognize that, and they're to be commended, because some in the religious world say, no, all of the churches are good to go. They're saying, no, the Bible only teaches one. And they say, we are that one. In fact, the term Catholic means universal. We are the universal church, is what they're saying. Pope Pius IX said, it must be held by faith that outside of the apostolic Roman Church, no one can be saved, that it is the only ark of salvation, and that he who shall not have entered therein shall perish in the flood. He says the Roman Catholic Church is the only place you can be saved. And so we ask the question, is it true that the Roman Catholic Church is the one true church of the Bible? You know, how do you determine if something is genuine? If you want to see that if something's genuine, what do you look for? You look at its marks. If I were looking to find my car, I would walk out into this parking lot and I would look for its distinctive characteristics. I would look for the type of car. It's a Kia. Now, there might be some other people who have Kias. Hopefully I'm the only one, and you probably hope that as well. But I would also know that it's a red Kia. And so I would look for a red Kia. And if there was more than one red Kia, well, then I could look for the license plate. And I could narrow down, this is the only vehicle that matches the marks of my car. And so that would be mine. How do you know if money is genuine, if currency is real? Well, you might look at the color, and you look at the type of ink, and you look at the detail in the paper, and you know, you can hold it up to the light, and it's even got this little thing that runs through it that tells you it's genuine. Well, my approach to the church is going to be very similar, because for a church to be the true church of the New Testament, it must be identical to the New Testament church. And I want to suggest to you tonight, the Roman Catholic Church is not. It doesn't meet the marks of authenticity. The church of the New Testament was established in Acts chapter 2 in AD 33. while the Roman Catholic Church was established in AD 606. The Church of the New Testament was established in Jerusalem, according to Isaiah 2, 1 and 2, while the Roman Catholic Church was established in Rome. Immediately, just on a cursory glance, we can see that the Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of the New Testament. And we're going to notice some more marks that don't match up as we continue on. For instance, the Roman Catholic Church believes the Bible to be inadequate. Now you might say, wait a minute, I thought you said they believe the Bible. They do believe the Bible is from God. But the Roman Catholic Church believes that the decrees of the Pope and tradition have equal authority to the Bible. Listen to this. I read you part of this on Wednesday night, but I'm going to read it again here. James Cardinal Gibbons wrote this: "Do not tell me that the Bible is all sufficient, or if you believe that it is self-sufficient, cease your instructions." He said, "We therefore conclude that the Scriptures alone cannot be a sufficient guide and rule of faith, because they cannot at any time be within the reach of every inquirer, because they are not of themselves clear and intelligible, even in matters of the highest importance, and because they do not contain all truths necessary for salvation." And so he said the Bible alone is insufficient. Why? He says because not everybody has access to it all the time. And he says because it doesn't really contain everything that you need to know, and because you can't understand it anyway. What's he mean by that? You need a priest to guide you. That's what he's getting at, no doubt. Another Catholic writing says, "Like two sacred rivers flowing from paradise, the Bible and divine tradition," listen to this, "the Bible and divine tradition contain the Word of God. Of the two, tradition is to us more clear and safe." Now he says we've got the Bible, we've got tradition, they have equal authority, but if we're going to pick one, then tradition is more clear. We're going to stick with tradition. Friends, the Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of the New Testament. The Bible tells us that with the Scriptures we have everything that God intended for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that we have all things pertaining to life and godliness. If we have the Scriptures, we have everything that God needs for us to know. The Roman Catholic Church says, no, we need the priest to guide us, and we need tradition, and we need the edicts of the Pope. You know what that means? It means the Roman Catholic Church doesn't meet the marks of the Church of the New Testament. Number three, the Roman Catholic Church holds to doctrines. I'm just kind of grouping a lot of things in one point here. But it is this: the Roman Catholic Church holds to doctrines that blatantly contradict the Scriptures. They blatantly contradict. Now, what do I mean? For instance, the Roman Catholic Church calls their priest Father. This is one of the most amazing and blatant violations of the Holy Scripture committed by any religious group. Why do I say that? Because Matthew 23 and verse 9, Jesus said, "And call no man Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, don't call any man Father in the religious sense. And they say, we're going to call our priest Father. It's a blatant violation. Secondly, the Roman Catholic Church has a separate priesthood. The Catholic Church has adopted a system similar to Judaism, in which their priests were considered to be God's representatives. And they believe that their priests have the power to pronounce the forgiveness of sin. The Bible teaches, however, that all Christians are priests. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, "Ye also are lively stones. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." There's not a separate priesthood in Christianity. The Bible also teaches that in Christianity, listen to this verse, because it's going to have bearing on several points. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible teaches that there is one God and there is one mediator. There is only one mediator between God and man. It is the man Jesus Christ. And so I can't go to a priest and have him go to God on my behalf. He can't mediate for me. The Bible says the only mediator is Jesus Christ. Number three, a third blatant doctrine taught by the Roman Catholic Church is when they forbid to marry. You know, although they don't forbid everyone to marry, they forbid the priest and the nuns to marry. They have to take a vow of celibacy. And it's interesting, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Bible plainly says that one of the departures from the faith would involve that very thing. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3. It's blatant. It's exactly what the Bible said would happen. They're going to depart from the faith and they're going to do this. And that's exactly what they did. Number four, the Roman Catholic Church blatantly violates the Scriptures and that they teach baptism by sprinkling. Now, they would say if you want to be immersed, that's okay. But if you want to be sprinkled, that's okay too. But the Bible says otherwise. The word baptized means immersion. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism. Acts 8 and verse 38, they went down both into the water. Why? Because baptism means immersion. And they had to be buried in water. These are blatant violations. Is the Roman Catholic Church the Church of the New Testament? It doesn't meet the marks. It can't be. Number four. The Roman Catholic Church teaches error with regard to the man that they call the Pope. The Catholic Church teaches that Peter was the first Pope, that the Church was founded upon Peter. But the Bible, however, says that the only foundation of the Church, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of the Church. The Catholic doctrine comes from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Where Jesus said to Peter, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, since the word Peter means rock, they have assumed that the church was built upon Peter. Now, we've already established that Peter can't be the foundation for the church because 1 Corinthians 3:11 says Jesus is the foundation. Peter can't be the foundation and Jesus be the foundation at the same time. But this false interpretation is exposed when you understand that the word Peter in the original language is Petros, which means a small stone, a pebble. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's the word Petra, which means a bedrock, a huge stone. And so what Jesus said is, I say to thee, small rock, that I'm going to build my church upon a huge foundation. And that is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the church is built on, and it fits perfectly with 1 Corinthians 3:11 that says Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. One brother in Christ has listed several reasons why Peter could not have been the first pope. Number one, Peter was an elder, not the elder. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. Peter refused to be worshipped. He refused homage. Acts chapter 10, 25 and 26. What about the pope today? When people come to him and try to honor him, does he say, no, I'm just a man? No, they're apt to bow down and kiss his ring. And he goes along with that. That wasn't what Peter did. Peter wasn't the pope. Peter also was a married man, according to Acts 8, 14 and 15, and 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. The Roman Catholic Church says the pope can't be married. And the Bible teaches Christ is the only head of the church. The Roman Catholic Church says that the pope is the head of the church. And if you go back historically, there is no proof in the Bible and there is no historical proof that Peter ever even went to Rome. You know, it's strange when Paul writes the book of Romans in chapter 16, he mentions all the brethren who were in Rome and he says, greet them and say hello to these people. He never mentions Peter as being present in Rome. And even if he was there, that doesn't prove that he was the pope. It is significant also that the name pope does not even appear in the Bible. That's interesting to me. And the doctrine's foreign to the Bible. The Roman Catholic Church has created this position. And they have exalted this position that is supposed to be reserved only for the Lord. I want to read you this. This is a quote. This is from the New York Catholic Catechism when you look up the word Pope. It says, now this is scary. The Pope takes the place of Jesus Christ on earth. By divine right, the Pope has supreme and full power in faith and morals over each and every pastor and his flock. He is the true vicar of Christ. He's the substitute for Christ. He is the head of the entire church. He is the father and teacher of all Christians. He is the infallible ruler, the founder of dogmas, the author of and the judge of councils, the universal ruler of truth, the arbiter of the world, the supreme judge of heaven and earth, and judge of all, being judged by one, God Himself on earth. Folks, that's shocking to me. That is absolutely shocking that one man would have the audacity to say, I am the substitute for Jesus Christ on the earth and I am the head of the church. And it is exactly opposite of what Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says. Number five, another error taught by the Roman Catholic Church is the worship of Mary. This is known as Mariolatry. The Roman Catholic Church refers to Mary as, quote, the Mother of God. And they believe that she is to be worshipped and that she functions as a mediator between God and man. The book entitled The Glories of Mary says, man cannot be saved without praying to Mary. Now you might be thinking, you're making this up. I don't believe this. I've got the documentation. That book on page 254, 55, and 189 states that. It says that she alone can obtain pardon. But again, the verse I told you to remember, 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one mediator. And the Bible says it is Jesus Christ. A priest is not the go-between between me and my God. And Mary is not the go-between between me and God. The Roman Catholic Church also teaches with regard to Mary that she was a perpetual virgin. Now, the Bible teaches that she was a virgin when Jesus was born. But if you read Matthew 13, 55 and 56, it goes on to tell us that after Jesus was born, she had relations with her husband and she had several other children. She was not a perpetual virgin. And the Ave Maria, or Ave Maria, I'm not sure how you say it. Maybe someone who has a background in Catholicism could tell me. It means Hail Mary. It is an important part of the Roman Catholic's life. In this particular prayer, she is called Holy Mary, the Mother of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you might say, what's the problem here? What's wrong with her being calling her the Mother of God? While the Bible teaches that Mary was the mother of Jesus, it does not say that she was the Mother of God. Mary gave Jesus His humanity. She did not give Him His deity. And so to call her the Mother of God is to exalt her to a position that is not hers. She is not the Mother of God. And to worship Mary is to worship the Creator, rather than the Creator. Romans 1:25. And that's a lot of what's going on in the Roman Catholic Church. They've taken the position reserved only for Jesus Christ, and they put the Pope in it. And then they've taken a position reserved only for Jesus Christ, and that is the mediator, and they put Mary in it. They're putting human beings in positions reserved only for that which is divine. Jesus never elevated Mary to a position like that. He never called her the Mother of God. He never said that we're to pray to her or that she's going to be a mediator. I've got also this next section dealing with the seven sacraments that are dealt with in the Roman Catholic Church. And this is a couple of pages of notes. I'm going to skip through some of this. If you're interested in the seven sacraments of Catholicism and you want to know what they teach and what they are, let me know. I will be glad to share those things with you. Another false doctrine taught by the Roman Catholic Church is the doctrine of purgatory. Now, purgatory essentially holds that those people who are not good enough to go to heaven when they die, they go to a holding place where they suffer for a period of time until they are purged from their sins. And after the purging takes place, then they can go to heaven. Folks, the Bible never teaches anything remotely akin to this. Now, Catholics have taught in the past that indulgences, you've read about the sale of indulgences, you could purchase indulgences and it would shorten the length of time that you would have to spend in purgatory. Let's say that you were a so-so person and you died as a so-so Catholic and you were destined to spend 10,000 years in purgatory and then you'll get to go to heaven. If you bought enough money, paid enough money to the Catholic Church, you might shorten that to 500 years. If you paid enough money to the Catholic Church, then you might just be able to go straight to heaven. And I understand historically that St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was built by the sale of indulgences. They made a lot of money on selling the forgiveness of sins buying your way out of purgatory, buying your way into heaven, essentially. We have talked about many times and alluded to it this morning that the Bible teaches that when a person dies, his fate is sealed. We talked about Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died, he went to torment, and he will stay in torment until the day of judgment where he will be sentenced to hell. The man Lazarus went to the place called paradise, and he is there, he's been comforted, and he will stay there until the day of judgment until he is sentenced or rewarded, I should say, eternally with heaven. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." There's not any holding time where you pay your dues and then you get to change. You know, Luke 16 talks about the fact there's a great gulf fixed in between torment and paradise so that you cannot cross from one side to the other. This idea of purgatory is not found in the Bible. The last point I want to make, showing that the Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of the New Testament, is with regard to this. It is sometimes said that the Roman Catholic Church gave us the Bible. Have you ever heard that? Sometimes that's said, we have the Bible because the Roman Catholic Church gave it to us. Brother V.E. Howard, before he passed away, penned these great questions for consideration. He said, if the Bible is a Catholic book, why does not the name and identity of the Catholic Church appear in the Bible? It's a good question. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why is there no mention of the Pope with the reverence and honor given to him? If the Bible is a Catholic book, why is there no reference to Peter as the vicar of Christ on earth? If the Bible is a Catholic book, why then does it not mention praying to Mary? And would a Catholic book have said that there is one God and one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Jesus Christ? It's exactly what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why did not the Catholic name appear before the 4th century? And yet the entire Bible was written between 1500 B.C. and 96 A.D. Friends, the answer is obvious. It's because the Bible is not a Catholic book. We don't have the Bible because the Roman Catholic Church gave it to us. And the answer to the original question, is the church of my choice the right church? If the church of my choice is the Roman Catholic Church, then it's not the right church. Because the Roman Catholic Church doesn't meet the marks of the church of the New Testament. It wasn't established by the right person, in the right place, at the right time, and it doesn't hold the doctrines taught in the New Testament. Many of them are blatant violations. Now we're saying this not to be ugly, not to pick on anyone, but we're saying this because this is a very serious matter of grave importance. Because your eternal destiny rests upon being in the right church, the one purchased by the blood of Jesus. And so we're trying to go to the Scriptures and point out this is what the Bible says. And if you're a part of the Roman Catholic Church and you say, well, that's what I hold to, we want you to examine that and see. It doesn't meet the marks. Your eternity hangs in the balance with this question. But you need to ask yourself, am I a part of the church that I read about in the Bible? Because any other church will certainly not do.